Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
And gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all.
Good morning, Christ United. If God's been good to you, give him what he deserves. That was weak. If God's been good to you, give him what he deserves. Will you give it? I'm Jeff. I'm lead pastor at Christ United. If you're a guest, we're so glad that you're here. I'm wondering this, like if you could get whatever it is that you want for Christmas, whatever it is that you might be hoping for, wishing for right now, what would bring you the greatest sense of fulfillment? I want to tell you that it does not matter what you get. It does not matter what you get. It doesn't matter what you've already gotten. If you don't have a reason, I want to tell you that with a reason, you can be satisfied even with nothing. With a reason, if you have a reason, you can be satisfied even with nothing. But if you don't have a reason, nothing can satisfy you. A reason is at the core of what a human being needs. And let me try to illustrate that. Viktor Frankl, that many of you, if you went through college and studied psychology, studied him. He was in a Nazi concentration camp, and he was a psychologist. And so he studied and looked at human nature in that context. And here's what he said. He said, in a condition of utter desperation, actually a position of utter desperation, he said that when a man can make no positive action, there's nothing that he can do. In fact, his greatest achievement is only to endure his suffering rightly or with honor. That's the only thing he can do, is suffer well. He said, even in this position, a person can find fulfillment, but it has to be because there's a reason. You see, think about it. In a concentration camp, he watched people die. But they died because they lacked a reason. They're being in slave labor in the camp he was in at Kaufering. They actually would dig and dig and dig and dig, and it just seemed like a useless process. And the only thing they were doing was making a place that the Nazi planes could be hidden from sight, you know? So it's just like this meaningless, this like, why in the world am I even doing this? There was no reason for it. And they suffered and they were beaten mercilessly. But the bad thing was there was really no reason for it. It was just senseless suffering. And so it was the lack of purpose, the lack of reason, the lack of meaning, the lack of why that made it so that people died. But others lived and even thrived if they had a reason. If there's a reason for it, then people can endure anything. If there's a reason for it, you can find life and fulfillment with almost nothing. But if you don't have a reason, it doesn't matter what you have. Now, you can fill in the blanks. If you're filling in the blanks, you need a reason to live. You literally need a reason to live. And if you don't have a reason, nothing can satisfy you. But if you do have a reason, you can be satisfied with almost nothing. Now, what happened was Frankl got out of that, and he began to understand that it's not just in concentration camps. Just studying human beings after that point, he is credited with coining the term Sunday neurosis. And he said that Sunday neurosis was this. People would get to the end of their work week, and they would just be hit with this anxiety, this sense of emptiness, he said, this void, this vague discontent. He said that they would be stricken with this existential vacuum, a feeling of meaninglessness. And he said this was a very pervasive thing. Lots and lots and lots of people have it. And it's characterized by this subjective sense of boredom, like an apathy and emptiness. That people who are in that place, they end up feeling like they lack direction. They're a bit kind of cynical about life, don't see the point in most of their activities. But you know what he recognized is human beings are real prone to that. And you may be prone to that. How many people have ever been in a place where you kind of feel like, man, I just feel this vague sense of emptiness? I've gotten to the end of my work week or my school week, and I feel like I've gotten the things that should have made me happy, and somehow I still feel empty, and I feel like there's something missing in me. Now, with that thought in mind, what makes it even more tragic is when you are around the Christmas season and you're getting the things that should make you happy. And a few weeks after Christmas, when all of a sudden you've watched 77 hours of television on your new flat screen and you're like, is this all there is? Or you've played that video game until you've mastered level 36 and you're working on level 37 and you go, is this all there is? Is this all there is? Or you're driving the new car, or you're in the new thing, whatever it is that you kind of felt like, and you're getting all there is, but in all there is, you're still lacking a sense of fulfillment, and it's because there's no reason for it. It's meaningless. And so what was interesting, there's a guy, Solomon, who was king over Israel. He was actually a teenager when he came to be king of Israel. You can read about it in 1 Kings 3, but what happened was he asked when he was a teenager, when God came to him in a dream and said, I'll give you anything you want. Instead of asking for riches and other stuff, he said, well, I'm getting ready to take over the place of my father as king, and I'm over this great people, too numerous to count or number, so I want you to give me a discerning heart so I can govern these people and distinguish between right and wrong. So I just want you to give me wisdom. And God said, man, because you've asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for the death of your enemies or a long life or riches or honor, since you didn't ask for all that stuff, I'm going to make you wise, wiser than anybody ever before you or after you. But listen, I'm also going to make you greater than anybody in your generation. In terms of wealth and honor, you'll have it all. And he did. And God blessed him with that wealth. And listen to this, it's for a reason that he had all that. It was so he could ultimately come back and write, we really believe from the internal evidence, that he wrote this book, Ecclesiastes, that's in the Bible. And here's what the book basically says, is if you view life apart from a reason, apart from God's perspective, apart from the perspective of the God who created you, looking into your life and saying, let me tell you the meaning of this. If you just look at it from a human perspective, life is ultimately meaningless. And that phrase is over and over again repeated, meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. Everything under the sun is meaningless. Whenever I look at it from an earthly perspective or from a human perspective, if I don't have a reason, it's all meaningless. And so he says that toiling, working real hard for stuff, is ultimately meaningless. In chapter 2, verse 20 of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says this, so my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. I was just like, why am I doing this? How many people have ever been to a point where you're getting up to go to work and you're like, why am I doing this? I'm doing this to pay for all the stuff that I've got that I thought would make me happy. And I remember when I got my Jeep and I'd worked real hard for it and I drove my Jeep. And after about 6 or 8 months in my Jeep, I'm driving my Jeep to work thinking, I'm going to work to pay for the Jeep that I drive back and forth to work. What is the meaning in this? You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense. Or school. And man, you know, what am I doing? Why am I burying myself into these books? And what am I working so hard and trying so hard? And eventually you just kind of go like, It's like useless, this striving that I'm going through. You can fill that in the blank if you want to. Without a reason, this whole striving that we do is really useless. Just put in the word useless. It's useless. It doesn't do any good. And then he learned that beyond that, suffering was absolutely senseless. It just made, if you're only looking at it from a human perspective, suffering makes absolutely no sense. In fact, he said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses, I think, 1 through 3. He says this. He says, then I looked and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. And I saw the tears of the oppressed. All right, and then there was nobody to comfort them. And then he said, it's like all the power was on the side of the oppressors. And they had no comforter. There was nobody to help take care of them. And so I said, this is what Solomon said. If I look at it from a human perspective, I said, I tell you what, it's better off to be the person who is dead, who has already died, than the person who is alive, who's still living. And then he said, and better than both of them is the person who never was. They were never born because they'd never seen all the evil under the sun. So Solomon's saying, look, if you are trying to go through life and you don't have a reason, when you come to suffering, you're going to be in a place where it's like, this is senseless. I don't even feel like I want to endure it. I wish I had not been born. There's no reason for this. It is senseless suffering. Without a reason, suffering is senseless. And then he found out that without a reason, even success is meaningless. You can fill that in. Success is absolutely meaningless. In chapter 2, verse 11 in Ecclesiastes, he said, when I surveyed all that my hands had done, all I had toiled to achieve, he said, everything was meaningless. He said, it was a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. It's just, how many people have ever gotten there? Now, here's the sad part about that. And you guys who are younger, let me tell you, you usually don't realize that till you're about 70. And the reason is because you always think that one more success, that one more accomplishment is going to get there. You know what I'm saying? When I get from here to there to there to there, like if I just get a little bit farther, I'm going to be able to get it. I can remember early on when I had a little bit of success, and I'm thinking like, you know, I won a weightlifting competition in my high school. And I'm like, man, I hadn't arrived. Because, you know, when you bench press 265, you got to bench press 315. When you get bench press 315, you got to go, you know, you got to constantly be going up. And no matter where you get, it's never enough. And no matter how big your bank account gets, or no matter how many real estate properties you own, or no matter what it is that you do, no matter how far you go in your sport. It was really when Brett Favre, after he's getting ready to go back and play again, it was so pitiful to hear the poor guy basically say, what else is there? I mean, I've already won, and I've got to maybe win again. So what's the purpose? And what's the meaning? Success, ultimately, if we don't have a reason, is meaningless, and even pleasure is meaningless. But he actually said in Ecclesiastes 2:10, he said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired, and I refused my heart no pleasure. I just took all the pleasure in that I could possibly take, and ultimately, it was pointless. You can put that. Pleasure is pointless. It's meaningless. It just doesn't do anything. So how many people are glad you came today? Oh, thank you. Man, you got a gift of encouragement, don't you, Pastor? You know? It's like, but listen, honestly, how many people here kind of resonate? You don't have to raise your hand, but you kind of resonate with what I'm talking about. You've had some of that Sunday neurosis that he's talking about. It's like you get to the end of it and you kind of go, well, wait a minute. I have this vague sense of emptiness. I have this void. I have this existential vacuum, this feeling of why. And I have this kind of feeling of subjective boredom and apathy and emptiness. And then God's saying, look, here's what I want to do. I want you to know that the reason that you have that emptiness is that there's something you need, and what you need is the reason. You see, we're told Jesus is the reason for the season, but Jesus is the reason for way more than the season. And what Viktor Frankl ended up saying is that people's primary pursuit in life, they're primarily driven by a search or a striving for meaning in one's existence. I need to find out a reason. And if you find out a reason, it changes everything. What would happen if somebody's in a concentration camp, and let's say that instead of digging that hole for no reason, and I'm digging that hole, and I'm beaten for no reason, if all of a sudden I'm digging a hole, but what I'm doing is I'm digging a tunnel. I'm digging a tunnel out so I can rescue other people from the camp. Can anybody see a difference in you getting up to go dig a hole and getting up and go digging a tunnel to get out, to actually lead people to safety? If there's a reason, it changes everything. I've got purpose in why I'm doing that. And if somebody in a concentration camp was being beaten, but they're not just being beaten senselessly for no reason, but if their suffering had some purpose, like I'm being beaten because I've delivered other people to freedom, or I'm being beaten so I can distract the guards so that somebody else can escape. If I've got any reason for my suffering, then I can endure the suffering. It's just when there's no reason, that's when it's hopeless. And so Victor found out that somebody who found reason found what they needed to live. And he looked for reason, and he said, man, you know what ultimately the reason comes down to? He said, the reason ultimately comes down to love. It was really cool. He had this woman, Tilly, his wife, that he said, by contemplating the image of his beloved and just thinking, I'm going to get through this thing to the end, that ultimately I might be with her and ultimately I might share this experience, I've got a reason to get through this. Now, here's the problem, though, is that when we make other things our reason, what happens when the dude you made your reason drops you? Well, then I want to kill myself because I got no reason to live. What happens when the child you made your reason leaves home to go to college and is mad at you and doesn't talk to you for a year? Well, I don't have a reason to live. What happens when you make the wrong thing your reason to live? And God's saying, I want you to know what the real reason is. Jesus is literally the reason to live. And let me tell you why. We hear it, you're in the Christmas season, about Jesus being Emmanuel, which means God with us. What this means is the God who's above it all, the God who is not under the sun, but above the sun, above it all, who sees the perspective and knows you and knows your heart. He said, I'm coming down into this world so that I can give you the reason, so that I can let you know why you're here. I came, he said in John 10:10, so that you might have life and have it to the full. I want you to understand why you were here. And you were created to be loved by God and to love him back. You were created for that purpose. And Jesus came into this world to say, I want to come to you and show you your reason for existing, which is relationship with me, the God who created you. And I then want to help you, listen, your purpose on this earth is I want to help you to become everything I created you to be. That's why you're here. So I've come so that I might make you everything you were created to be and ultimately take you into the paradise you were created for. That's why Jesus came. So I'll pay the price for all of your sin, all of your mess, forgive you for all that you've done, and I will bring meaning into your life. And the meaning and purpose is that you become who you were created to become. Now, that's huge. And so Paul was able to say in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I've got one thing that I live for, and what I live for is him. Viktor Frankl said, I understood when I was in the concentration camp for the first time the statement that says the angels are in perpetual contemplation, lost in perpetual contemplation, contemplation of an infinite glory. They're just focused on God. They're just going like, gosh, man, I've got to get my focus on the reason that I'm here. And the reason I'm here is to actually be in a love relationship with the God who made me and become all he's called me to be. Well, then you might be saying, but wait a minute. How does that bring contentment and fulfillment and everything else? Why was Paul able to say in Philippians 4:12-13, he said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It was for this reason. He had his purpose, and his reason was, I am everything, my tough times and my good times, all of it, I'm being made more like the Jesus who came to this earth to grab my life. I am pressing on toward being more like him, and I am loving him more and growing closer to him in the whole process. And so for everybody here that's going like, okay, that sounds cool, relationship with God. Well, if that's the case, then why don't I just go ahead and go to heaven? Why does he even leave me here? Why am I still here? If the only reason that he came was so that I could have a relationship with him, why didn't he just come and once I said yes to him and began a relationship with him, take me to heaven, you know? Just take me to heaven, get me out of this. Let me ask you, what's the one reason somebody would still be in a concentration camp if they had already found the way out? If somebody had already tunneled out of the concentration camp, why would they be back in there? The only reason would be to get other people out. Agreed? The only reason to still be in there is to get other people out. And so the reality is, the only reason you're still here is to help lead other people to the same love, to the same relationship, to the same reality, to the same reason that you have. God's saying, I wouldn't leave you in this mess of a world where there's pain, where there's suffering, where there's struggles, where there's toiling, where there's all this stuff. I wouldn't have left you without a reason. And the reason that I've left you here is to do what I came to do. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save what was lost, Luke 19:10. I came to get people who were hopeless, like this guy Zacchaeus, who he was talking about, who felt like he had everything, yet was completely empty and void, and he desperately needed to be rescued. And Jesus said, I came to seek and to save what was lost. And then when Jesus left, in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said to his disciples, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. I came to rescue, now I'm sending you to rescue. I've shown you the way out of this mess. I've brought you into a relationship with me. And now the reason I'm leaving you here is to rescue other people. And so he is your reason. A relationship with him and love relationship with him is why he came. And the reason he left you here is because there are so many around you who have not yet been rescued. And he's saying, your purpose is to help rescue them. And that adds meaning to everything. Absolutely everything. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for you to do. How many people here are called to ministry? Raise your hand if you're called to ministry. All right, I got a few. I want you to know how many hands should have gone up. Every stinking hand in the place. How many of you are followers of Jesus? If you're a Christ follower, raise your hand. Let me ask you this. Do you realize that that means that you already know Jesus and you could be in heaven right now? The only reason you're still on the planet, just like the only reason you'd still be in the concentration camp, is to help get other people free. And God says, that's your purpose. And so that adds purpose to everything. It adds reason to everything. So think about this. Jesus is the reason for your striving. Why do you strive to work hard and be the best you can be in your job or in your school or in your sport or in your music or whatever it is? Why do you strive to be the best you can be? What's the reason for even striving? I'll tell you the reason for that. The reason is that everything He's given you and all the work that you do is all intended by Him to be used to help bring people to Himself. And so Paul was talking to a bunch of people who were slaves, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. He's talking to slaves and he says, look, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, not working for men, but for God. He said, you're not working for people. I want you to work at it with all your heart as unto the Lord, as working for the Lord, not for men. So since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So listen to this. If you are hit with that feeling of, why in the world? Why am I working so hard at school? I mean, what's the use in it? Why am I doing my job? Why am I even, it's meaningless. It's useless. Understand this, that I don't care what your job is. If you are a surgeon or you are a janitor, it does not matter. If you're a stay-at-home mom or you're living on Social Security right now, the truth is that what God intends for you is that everything that you do in your life, He uses so that He can use you to save people out of their desperation, one relationship at a time, one person at a time, and He's invited you to be part of it, and everything you do ought to center on that. And so we're told this in the book of 1 Peter chapter, yeah, applause, do it, yeah. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says this, each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever your gift is, you should be using it for God's purposes. If you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you are a nurse, if you are a stay-at-home mom, if you are if you do lawns for a living, I don't care what it is you do, God's saying, I'm putting you into relationships and opportunities that you can use what you've been given to help rescue people out of where they are. Now, some of you are thinking like, yeah, but really what I do is not that important. Like for me, guys, I get up at like 4:30 in the morning and I'm fired up. I'm like, hop out of bed and I'm like, man, I can hardly wait to get going. You know why? I got a reason. If I didn't have a reason, I would just want to roll over and stay in bed, right? Because I got a reason. I'm going to be doing something today that matters. I got purpose. If you were helping to dig a tunnel that was going to rescue thousands, wouldn't you get up with purpose? I'm going to get up. I'm going to dig, man. And I'm going to dig with all my energy because I'm doing something that makes a difference. But you might be thinking, but yeah, but that's because you're a preacher. I want to tell you before God, this is true. When I used to get up about that same time, actually stay up until that same time, while I was working for Slate Service, a janitorial service in Kentucky, I got up with the same sense of purpose and the same sense of meaning. There was just as much meaning in me being a janitor for Slate Service as there is in me being the pastor of Christ United. Because at that time, in that place, God was placing me in opportunities, in relationships to affect people's forever. And I had to recognize that when I got up and I went and cleaned toilets, it wasn't just so I cleaned toilets good. If you ever went and sat on one of my toilets, you would never get a disease. I promise you. All right? I did a good job cleaning, you know? And I wanted to represent Jesus well in my janitorial work, right? But here's the thing, I also encountered people constantly and God was putting me in position to influence people that wouldn't listen to a doctor or a lawyer, but they would listen to me, a janitor, because there was a way in which we were connecting in our lives. God's done it for you. Listen, tune in to me. I don't care whatever your gift is, if you hadn't settled in your mind that the reason you have it is to rescue people from hopelessness and hell, and bring them into a relationship with God. If you hadn't gotten hold of that, you hadn't gotten hold of your reason for living. You don't even know why you have that gift until you recognize that that gift was given to you for that purpose. And it's also the reason why in our suffering, there's meaning in our suffering. And so James was able to say, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He's saying, even in suffering, God's going to be doing the work of making you more like Jesus, causing you to draw closer to Him, loving God even more. And Peter said in 1 Peter 4:13, he said, look, I want you to know that you should rejoice in your sufferings. I want you to actually rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you can be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Because if you're suffering, I promise you, like I'm looking at Mike. Mike is a friend of mine who has been through more suffering in the last 4 years than I've ever seen anybody go through. It's just been horrific what Mike has gone through. I've never walked into a hospital room when there weren't doctors and nurses and workers and people visiting him that were being affected by Mike. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there is purpose in that suffering. If there's no purpose in that suffering, give up. If there's no purpose in that suffering, just quit. But it's filled with purpose. His suffering is not senseless. He's going through some difficulties, but God is using those difficulties to make eternal impacts in the lives of other people. And listen up. If you hadn't got hold of the fact that the reason why your suffering has purpose is that God works even through what the devil would intend to destroy you. God's doing good through it. So you are never suffering senselessly. You are always suffering with purpose because God is always using it for eternal glory. He's always using it for greater purposes. Yeah? And guys, listen. The same is true concerning success. Because if you pursue success, I promise you before God, it does not matter how high you go in your field or in your sport or in your career. It does not matter how high you go academically. It is meaningless until you recognize this, that there is only one success ultimately. And that is from Matthew 25:21, when God looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. You got one success in your life. And the only success in your life that will ever matter is if you fulfill God's purpose in your generation. If you do what He put you on the planet to do. Wherever you are, whatever you do, if you have missed that, you have missed life. Because that's why you're here. And so listen to this. The pleasure that we seek ultimately is pointless until you get hold of this reality. God's desire for us is not temporal pleasure. His desire for us is eternal pleasure. Psalm 16:11 says this, you have shown me the path of life. You have given me joy in your presence and eternal pleasures at your right hand. God, your desire for me is actually to bring me in. His desire for you is paradise. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. It speaks of this place called the paradise of God. And here's what God's wanting to say to you, to every single one of you sitting here. He's saying, please don't get caught up in pointless pleasure that will be over in the blink of an eye. But I want you to get your focus on the reality, and that is that I have planned for you eternal pleasure, where there's no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. I want you to be with me in love relationships with me and with others forever. My purpose is for you is eternal pleasure. So listen. If you haven't gotten that, you are wasting your life, because I promise you, no matter how high you get, the next time you go to get high, you're going to have to try to get higher. And as you try to get higher, ultimately you'll get lower. And ultimately you destroy your life. There is not enough sex. There's not enough drugs. There's not enough money. You can have a 72-hour massage. It ain't going to do it. The truth is that ultimately, it is pointless. God says, what I've got planned for you is to take away your pain for eternity. What I've got planned for you is paradise. Start living for that. Start living for that. Now, tune in. I just got a question for you. And number one, my apologies that y'all didn't see anything on the screens. I worked for a solid 12 hours putting together a PowerPoint with 78 slides. and PowerPoint this morning ate it all. So my apologies for not seeing it on the screen, but everything I've just shared with you, straight from God's word, maybe with some misquotes in there, but it's really, really close. All right. But here's the deal. I got a question for you. Have you made Jesus your reason? Look, somebody here today, you've got a step to take. And your step is this. I'm still living in Sunday neurosis. I have this anxiety over this emptiness, this void, this vague sense of discontent, this existential vacuum, this feeling of emptiness, this subjective boredom and apathy. I'm just in this place where, God, no matter how much I get, no matter how much I play, no matter how much entertainment I try to pump into my life, I can ride around in my car and crank up the radio real loud to try to fill this emptiness, but your emptiness is not being filled. And God's saying, here's why. There's only one thing that will fill it. Y'all, when Nicole was talking about her reaffirmation of her faith in Christ, it was beautiful that she had said to me, she said, here's what's happened. She said, I had an emptiness. And I had all this guilt over my past and all that kind of stuff. And I come in and realize that God has forgiven me, but that emptiness has been filled. That emptiness has been filled. And you know why? Because she discovered the reason. Please tune in. There's somebody here who needs today to take the most important step you'll ever take in your life, and that is to realize that the reason you were born was for God to love you and you to love Him back. The reason you were put on the planet to begin with was for you to learn to love God and to honor Him in your life and to become everything you were created to be, because He wants you with Him forever. Do you understand that? And Jesus came to die in your place to pay the price for all of your sin and all of your mistakes so that He could move into your heart, move into your life today, not tomorrow, but today, to come into your life today and say, starting today, I'm your reason. Starting today, you're going to realize that the reason you were born was to love me and for me to love you back. And you're going to start becoming everything I created you to be starting today. And I won't stop. I'm going to take you to heaven with me. You're mine forever. How many people would like to leave here today knowing I am His forever? Today is my day when I am taking the step and I'm making Him my reason, because He created me for the reason of a love relationship with Him. Then there's other people here who you did that a long time ago, but you still lived that same Sunday neurosis. You still lack meaning and purpose because you failed to recognize that, wait a minute, God, all my gifts, all my abilities, everything that I have was intended to be used for me to rescue other people. I wouldn't still be in this mess. I wouldn't still be in this world if I already knew the way out. He would have taken me out. The only reason I'm still in the concentration camp is there are people still in prison. And I should be using all my time and all my gifts and all my efforts. God, I missed my purpose on this planet. I, Lord God, from this day forward, am ready to make you my reason. I'm going to be like Paul. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, I'm here because I want to share love with as many people as I can. I want to help as many people as I can escape this hopeless prison camp of a world. And I want to help them find the life that God intended for them. And starting today, even though I said yes to Jesus a long time back, but starting today, I'm going to recognize that the only reason I'm still here and I'm not in heaven is because there are other people to be rescued. God is transforming the world one relationship at a time, and He created you to be a part of that. Every relationship, every opportunity that you have, God intended for you to be using to help bring people to Him and rescue them out of this world, that they might ultimately be in paradise with Him. That's why you're here. And so many people here today, you need to recognize that today and say, starting today, that's my reason. It's the reason for my striving. It's the reason that I can endure suffering. It's the reason for my success. It's the reason that I seek any pleasure is in Him. And I want to accomplish that. Lord God, here's our prayer. There's people here that have big decisions to make today. And we just want to ask together that we would leave here with a reason. Because, God, without a reason, nothing can satisfy. Without a reason, no amount of striving or success or pleasure will ever satisfy. But God, if we have you, if we have the reason, God, we can be so satisfied. With virtually nothing, we can be satisfied because it's all in you. And so, Lord God, we pray for a reason today in Jesus' name. As this song is sung, I'm going to ask that we actually stand. And the reason I want us to stand is because I want you to free up the aisles so that somebody might slip by you, because this altar is open for two groups of people. Somebody who says, today, I need to fill the emptiness in my life by making Jesus my reason to live. And others need to come and say, I need to fill up my life fulfilling my purpose in Christ. And I'm going to start rescuing others since God's left me here to do it. We invite you to come.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.